Good morning. We're up to the end of the last pasuk in Perek Chaf Ches. Okay, all we have left to do in Perek Chaf Ches is the summary. If I'm not mistaken, maybe we have to do the Rashi as well. Perek Chaf Ches. Okay, the end of Perek Chaf Ches, the last pasuk, which is pasuk Chaf Ches. Chaf Ches, Chaf Ches. 28:28. A double dosage of koach. Okay, so the pasuk. Let me just read the pasuk. Pasuk reads: "Vayemel Adam Hein Yiras Hashem Hi Chochma V'Suim Neira Bina." This is the conclusion of the parak. The parak is Eoiv, and this parak has contrasted material gain, material pleasure, and material commodities versus the Chochma of Hashem, the Chochma of Torah. And his point was that anything that is physical, anything material, is limited. Its limitation stems from the fact that it has a source and an end. And he starts over the examples of commodities: gold, silver, copper, barzel, iron. These things are all found in the earth. And being they're found in the earth by nature is limited. The earth is only here for a certain amount of time. And thus, there's a limit to how much gold and how much silver one can quarry from the earth. And ultimately, when the earth will be destroyed, the gold and silver, the iron, the barrels will also cease to exist. Because the world will not, according to what he appears to be saying, is the world's not going to be around forever. The world will come to an end, being the world, the earth, is physical. And then he expands upon that concept by describing other types of things, other types of things that are in this world, like even darkness, things which are not pleasant. Darkness, ofel, tzalmoves. He then begins to describe, gets more sophisticated, civilization, cultures, different communities, which are built upon, based upon, they develop pretty because of environmental conditions. The cities that are developed near springs, near rivers. A city needs water. If there is no water, then the city cannot possibly continue to exist. Eretz Yisrael is a very big issue. Eretz Yisrael in the Middle East is there's a very great shortage of water. People are predicting there are going to be wars. So there's a very, very, very difficult situation. The wars are there's a fear that wars will be fought in the future over water. Today, they already have. Today, they're fighting over oil. But who knows, in the future, there might be wars over there. We have over water, but these things, and being that water is limited, water comes from a source, and if HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides that the river should flow in a different direction, then the city, the country that has been established only because it has a source of water, now finds itself starving. And that city will collapse, will fold, will move on to a new location, and then people who will pass by this location years later will not even know, will not even realize that once upon a time this was the center of the world. This was the metropolis of the world. And now it's a desert. Not even a vulture, not even all the wild birds and animals would even be willing to go and explore what is in this location due to its utter desolation. So he uses this as a mashal. Just like there is such a concept, we can appreciate that. We can appreciate such a concept. Likewise, the same is true when it comes to all physical, material gain and pleasure in this world. It all is transitory. It's here today, it's gone tomorrow, and therefore his message is, why bother? Why should a person devote his entire life to pursue these things when they're limited and the end will be, they will disappear, it will be as if it never existed. Instead, what is his message? A person should pursue the Chochma of Hashem, should pursue Torah, should attempt to use his days in his life to acquire spiritual benefit. And that way he will have something to take with him to Olam Haba, because this is infinite. The Chochma of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite, and it is the only thing which is guaranteed. And that's the end of the parak. The end of the parak is where he summarizes his assessment of comparing material things to spiritual matters. Vayomer Adam Hein Yiras Hashem Hi Chochma. Yiras Hashem is the ultimate Chochma. V'Suim Meira Bina. And removing oneself from evil is a source of understanding. And from there, a person can come to close to Kadosh Baruch Hu and make an acquisition that will take him into Olam Haba. Let's look at the Rashi. Just include the Rashi. Rashi is Pasuk of Ches. Yirahin Yiras Hashem Hi Chokma. Yiras Hashem is wisdom. Zu Tzricho Lezu Ve'ein Chokma Yafa Below Yira. There's no such thing as Chokma without Yira. Kol Misha Yirasa Kodemes Li Chokmasai. Chokmasa Mischayemes. Mishnah Perkei Avos. V'chol Misha Chokmasa Kodemes Li Yirasa. Ein Chokmasa Mischayemes. So Rashi just summarizes Zu Tzricho Lezu Ve'ein Chokma Yafa Below Yira. Chokma is not of any benefit unless it is accompanied through Yirah Shamayim. Now, a prerequisite. Like we always mention that Yerushalayim was named by two individuals, by Avraham, Hashem Yeroeh, who was misspelled that Hashem should appear in this location, and by Malki Tzedek Melech Sholem. So the obvious question is, why? Who came first? Melech Sholem came before Avram, so it should be called Sholem Yeru. Right, Yira, Hashem, Avram called the place Hashem Yeroeh. The gematria of Yeroeh is the same as Yeru. We combine the Hey and the Aleph. 5 plus 1 is 6. So we exchange the Hey and the Aleph for the letter Vav. Yeroeh turns into Yeru. Why is it called Yeru Sholem? It should be called Sholem Yeru. So the answer is, being that Avraham called it Yeru from the word to see, which also is related to fear, to Yira's fear, we have a general rule that Yira always comes first. Although chronologically it may have come later, but being that Yira is essential, kol misha Yirasa kodemes techmasa chachmasa miskayemes. So Malki Tzedek, he was a melech sholem. He had completeness in chachma, completeness. But the completeness will never endure unless it is preceded, it is packaged together with Yira. And that's why Yira has to come first, Yiru Sholem. Okay, let's take a look over here at the summary of the Mitzudos in the parentheses. We already did the first half of the Mitzudos. But let's go down the Pasuk of Ches in the parentheses. So Eile Mehadvarim Ha'ema. What is the summary of Eiv's speech, of his presentation? So here he summarizes Kiyarbe Amorim Loimar. Eiv has a lot to say. He increases words to say Shelo Yivoda, Shelo Yoda Lachaverov Shechot. The first thing he wants to make known to his friends is this has been going on for the last 28 parakim. I will not confess to a sin that I did not commit. I have nothing to the friends for the last 28 parakim. I have been begging Eiv, confess, just admit that you are a sinner. And then there's a chance, there's hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will forgive you for your sins and will change your fate, your mazel, and things will lighten up. You'll be rewarded, you will be restored to a good, successful life. Eiv consistently, from beginning to the end of this Sefer, says, no way, I will not admit that I have done anything wrong, because I've searched deep down within my actions, my mind, my essence, and I have not done an avera. Being that I'm an honest person, I'm not a phony, I'm not a flatterer, I'm not like you, my friends, I'm the real thing. I'm not going to admit to something, to flatter Hashem by telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, confessing to things that I did not do. Shelo yoda l'chavero shechata, ki lo yida berimia. I do not speak deceit. I'm not a false person. Hoil since v'yodea bi'atzmo shelo kein hu. Because I am absolutely certain, 100%, that I have not done an avera, and therefore I don't deserve to suffer. V'yav ki yachshev shemikre echol etzalik. So therefore, why then am I suffering? So what was Eve's thesis throughout the entire Sefer, at least according to the Mitzudos? The only reason why I'm suffering, it must be mazel. Mazel. There's no such thing as hashgacha pratis. A bad luck. I was born under a bad star. I was born at a bad time in the year, a bad day, and my mazel demands that I suffer in this world. Nothing more than that. So what's the next step in the process of this analysis? Since there is no such thing as hashgacha pratis, everything is mazel, I might as well enjoy a good life, be a rasha. I might as well do every aver I can. Many averas come bring with it pleasure. So I might as well enjoy myself at the expense of sacrifice sacrificing my Olam Haba. So, well, that's at least because by doing so, or other people will learn from me by doing so, at least you'll have a good life. You'll have a good life in this world. He goes on to say, no, my friends, I'm not coming to that conclusion. I advise you against reaching a conclusion as such. Even though it appears there is no Ashkacha Pratis, it's all the same. Im kol zeh, nevertheless, ein livchor beresha. I make it clear to you in this parak, my friends, don't choose a lifestyle of evil. Ki haloi, because guess what? You're not even guaranteed to have a good life in olam hazeh by being a rasha. Ki haloi gam harasha mu'utad hu lemikrei hazman. Because even the rasha is subject to mazel. And it can be a rasha also will suffer in this world. So what do you have to gain? Gain the yisroin latzadik. So therefore, what was the only difference then between the tzadik and the rasha? It's olam haba, what comes after this world ends. And one thing you can be sure, if you're a Rasha in this world, you're not going to have Olam Haba. But if you're a Tzaddik in this world, you're not going to have Olam Hazeh, but at least you'll have Olam Haba. What is the benefit? He will take delight in the spiritual delight, period. And then he goes on to say, he goes on to validate to his words by saying, his main thrust of this parak was, take note that pursuing a life of materialism will end with, you'll end up with nothing, because everything that is physical, material, ceases to exist. But if you choose Yira Shamayim, Chochma, the kinyan ha-chochma imedes lo'ad is eternal. Im kain, toy v'hi mikol ha-kinyanim, it is greater, more valuable than any other thing you could acquire. Ve'ein la-hasiga mibli yiras ha-makom. And then he mentions this twice in this parak, that you cannot accomplish, that don't think you can acquire chochma without yiras shamayim. The chochma of Hashem is very delicate, it's spiritual, and it requires an introduction of yiras shamayim to gain access. Im kain, mi yivchar beresh, who would want to be a Rasha? By being a Rasha, that is the opposite of being a Yiras Shamayim. Then you have no chance of acquiring the Chochmah Kodesh Baruch Hu. La'abed ha-chochmah ha-yofeh. By being a Rasha, you're going to lose your chance to acquire Chochmah, which is beautiful, which is eternal, which is what you'll have in the next world after this world comes to an end.
So what are you saying? Number one, I'm a Tzadik. Number two, I'm a Chochmah.
Yeah.
Number three, I'm a Yiras.
Say it again. One more time.
I'm a tzaddik.
Yeah, I didn't do anything wrong, right? Okay.
I have chachma.
What do you have chachma? What do you say?
This is my goal. This chachma, the money.
Okay.
And I have Yirush Hashem because I can't have.
Okay, so Nechanami, so that's so.
So he never complained about anything. He just gave a krech.
That's right. Okay, Nechanami. He did say things where he did. Well, we do know Ein Mazel Yisrael. Okay, we have to understand that thing. We know. I mean, we shouldn't get swept away and think that he's right, because he's not right. At least he's not right for Klal Yisrael. Ein Mazel Yisrael. A person does have the ability through his Ma'asim Tovim to see in this world Schar V'Einish. There is such a thing, even though we know for a fact it is Rasha V'Tovlo and Rasha V'Tovlo Tzadik V'Ralo. Okay, that's a question. It's a question, but it does not take away from the fact that there is also a degree of schar ve'oinish in olam hazeh, because ein mazel liyisrael vayotzi oso hachutz. Hashem took Avram outside of his mazel. Well, Eve wasn't Jewish, so maybe in Echnan what Eve is saying is true for the non-Jewish world. That may be true to a certain degree. Okay, now there is. Okay, let's just jump into the next pair. Okay, sure. First one, Rabbi, I want to welcome. We have here a very special person. We have
David.
Of David Miller, who is the brother of our own Rabbi Michal Miller. He is here, and he's one of the few, if maybe only, people out there in the world, the whole wide world, that actually listens to the Shiurim online. According to my statistics, you're the only person. According to my stats, you go online, I know everyone's IP who comes to visit, he's the only one in the whole wide world. So I'm flattered that we have came from all over.
What I wanted to add was that what Eyob is basically telling his friends is that because of all the things that you have enumerated,
yes,
I am smelling a rat here. I feel that I am a victim of some sort of a divine setup of which I can't put my finger on it, but that's it. I mean,
Mazel. No, but he doesn't seem, according to the Mitsudos, there are many approaches, according to the Mitsudos, the thrust, the sense you get is, Hashem is not out to get him. We did have Sukkim where he did complain that it appears as such, but the way at least the Mitsudos explains is, everything is mazel. It's not that Hashem is out to get me. This is my fortune, my luck, the jewel of the straw.
Beginning the bet that went on, so to say, between Hashem and the Son.
His bitterness, he bitterly complained that we have a different perspective. Right? That's the Medrash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Einoch Nami was to some degree did give the Satan permission to. So you're making a very good point that it's not mazel because we know from the beginning of the Sefer that the Satan indeed was out to get him. Right. So he obviously Eve is not aware of this. Eve is not aware that there's a conflict between Avram and Eve. We discussed this last Friday, the different cheshbonos between Avram and Eve. But you're right, that's a very good point. It's not mazel because indeed, we have the Satan. Now we begin Perek Chav Tes. Perek Chav Tes begins, it's a beautiful Perek. Perek Chav Tes goes to the Perek line where Eov is like a break. Perek Chav Tes is a break from the entire Sefer Eov.
You know, he wasn't Jewish.
Yeah.
Then he was involved against Baal Matreken.
That's right, of course. Who's not to say? There are Chassidi Umos HaOlam. Of course, we know that as a fact.
Philosophy, not just
Hashkocha. Certainly, he was a religious person. Now, Perek Chav Tes and Perek Lamed is a break from the debate between Eov and his friends, where Eov is, well, at least Perek Chav Tes, he's reminiscing the good life. He's reminiscing, wow, I remember the good old days. The good old days when everything was blissful. I was a respected person, and I had a good life. And one of the main things he expresses, which is very interesting, is I got a lot of kavod. Today, you know, we find, you look out in the world, people, they spend a good part of their life trying to accumulate wealth. And then when they get there, and this is not true for everyone, but for people, some people, public figures, when they finally reach that point in their life when they have enough more money than they know what to do with for the rest of their life and the rest of the lives of their family, what's the next thing? They pursue kavod. They want recognition. They want the whole, first they want, if they're religious, they want their rabbanim to recognize them, they want the world, the Jewish world to recognize them, and then they want the geisha world. They want the whole world to recognize what a great person they are. And once a person has a taste of kavod, it's insatiable. You have power, absolute power corrupts absolutely, something along those lines, or kavod's exponentially worse. Once a person has a small taste of kavod, you want even more. Eov here, it's very interesting when he describes his wonderful life, a lot of the things he says focus on respect. He was a very well-respected person. People gave him honor. They stood up for him. They listened to him. And he misses that now. Now in his state of illness, he has lost all of the respect because people are saying behind his back, if this is what Hashem has done to him, it must be that he's a Rasha. He's an evil man. And he's an evil man. He doesn't deserve respect. Because if he really was a tzaddik, Hashem would not have allowed such a thing to happen. And Eov sorely misses that respect that he once enjoyed. So here we begin.
Don't understand the concept. People that criticize him don't understand the concept of tzaddik v'ra.
Well, they don't know all the details. They Eov mentioned many times in the past that people don't know his personal life. They don't know what he does behind closed doors. And if this is what's happening to him now, it must be that he has done terrible sins that people are not aware of. But Hashem is aware of. And Hashem is just in bringing upon him suffering. That was the... Eov says it's not true. I know everything that I've done behind closed doors, and I've not done anything wrong, and I don't deserve it. I'm a tzaddik. It's tzaddik v'ralo. But people don't know that. No one knows. No one knows who a true tzaddik is. You don't know what people are thinking, what they're doing, they're planning. Okay, let's take a look. Vayosef Iyov Se'es Mishalo Vayamar Iyov continues to lift up his parable. Mishalo here does not necessarily, so Rav Shwab quotes from a different source that Mishalo does not really here mean a parable. He means a speech. Okay, why here means a speech? Why doesn't it mean the? I mean, there are examples that he gives which are Mishalim, are parables, but simply means he continues to express himself by Yoma with the following words: Mi yitneni ki yarchi kedem. If only it can be, if Hashem only would restore me to the days of the old time immemorial. Now, the way he describes the yarch, this is the concept which we mentioned in the past, that when you want to define time, many of us define time by years. Person lives 120 years. Or you want to define life, you define it by days. He arichas yomim. Some people have arichas shanim, but they don't have arichas yom. They don't accomplish very much. The days go by, just fly by. Some people, you hear, Achman al-Son, a person who dies very young, they'll say about a very great person, he may not have had arichas shanim, he may not have had long years, but he had arichas yomim. Every single day counted. Every single day made a difference. It's extremely rare to define time in terms of months. And that we had this before. We did have this at least once or twice before in a couple of program back. And again, Eov here is expressing this new concept of having good months. Good months. Some type of balance between days and years. Mi yitneni, if only I can go back, yarche kedem, like the months. Not like my earlier days. Not like my earlier years. Eov here, according to tradition, was 70 years old. He's complaining he wanted to go back to the previous months, kiyachi kedem, kimei, during the days, eloka yishmini, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was guarding me. Now, if we're going to see in Pas Paragimel, there are the Midrashim, which focus on the moment of the time when he was a fetus in his mother's womb. Okay, we'll come to those Pesukim, Pasuk Gimel Dalid, and Hayes in a few moments. And that's not the simple translation. Simple translation is when he was a young man. But some want to learn that the happiest time of a person's existence is when he is within his mother's womb. We don't remember that period of time. There are scientists today that through hypnosis, they to a certain degree have succeeded really in being able to open up a person's mind to memories. Not Gilgulim. Not. Okay, we're not going back to the previous life. We're talking about the earliest states of childhood. At what point in time does a person have his first memories? So there is such a thing that, I mean, a fetus after 40 days old does have some perception of life. They say a child can't see until he's a couple of days old. There's no sight, there's no vision, there are memories, but the Midrashim, Rav Shlomo, he talks about this in his parish, that the happiest time of a person's existence is when he is at the time of being a fetus. That is mole simcha. And if we forget about spiritual, let's talk about physical pleasure. No daigas. Bliss is ignorance. Is that the way it goes? Bliss is ignorance? Or ignorance is bliss? Ignorance is bliss. Ignorance is bliss. Ignorance is bliss. At a time when a fetal mitzias, you have no daigas. Everything is provided for you, even better than an infant. An infant cries. It's hungry. It needs to be nursed. It needs to be fed. When you know, you're plugged into the port, you don't have to be recharged. Your laptop is, you know, permanently, you know, plugged into the outlet. It is a time of simcha, and that's how we're going to learn in the Medrash, the Pasuk Gimel, Dalet, and Hey in a few moments. Now, if you want to take that, you want to expand it back to Pasuk Aleph, it would then make sense why it says the months. Because a fetus doesn't remain in the womb for more than 9 months. So you don't... Tisha Yarchei Leida. I would say that on Pesach, right? Tisha Yarchei Leida. It's only defined in months. It's not defined in terms of days. It's not defined in terms of years. So then it would fit well why he says, if only I can go back to the Yarchei Kedem. If only I can be a fetus once again. He was talking about, I only can be a 20-year-old. I can be back in college. I can be back in high school. I can be back when I got my first job, or when I was in my 30s, whatever it was. He would say, Kishanim Kadmanias, or Ki Yimei Kedem. Yarchei leads into what we're going to say now, the good old days when I was within my mother's womb.
I'm just going to say, what can be better than a fetus 9 months in the womb of his mother, and that Mal comes and teaches him Kol Torah, and he doesn't have to break his head to understand it.
Right, that's what the next words of the besides. But that's something spiritual. Let's not focus on the spirituality. Let's focus on if your physical existence. I wouldn't be too happy to crouched over old and bent over in a fetal position. It's not too comfortable, no? Is it? It must be, if that's what Hashem made it. Okay, I don't know. You're enveloped in water. You're in
a nice warm environment.
It's a warm environment. No rent, okay, and Wi-Fi, okay, you have Wi-Fi access. Okay, so here we go to Pasuk. Let's see Pasuk Beis in the Mitzudos. First Pasuk Aleph and Beis, two together in Mitzudos. Vayosef, b'ro'isa ki ad ko ein mi yaneh lo. The audience is silent. Elihu has not yet spoken up. The three friends, they're gone. They're ready, they have been silenced. But what about Elihu? He's coming up next. He's in the audience there preparing his speech. But in the meantime, no one is talking. So ad ki. He raised his voice. He says the following words. What is the mashal? The mashal begins. Pasuk Gimel, Gzuntayt, Bihilo, Nero, when it shone, when Hashem's lamp shone upon me. Bihilo, Nero, V'goymer, V'radim, Kmo, and many other expressions which we're going to have in the next psukim. So Rashi, the Mitzvah seems to take the word mashal literally. It's a parable. Hashem's lamp shone upon him. That's not to be taken literally. That's a mashal. So in Chanami, he translates it as a parable. Pasuk Beis Mit Neni Mi Yitein Osi. If only it can be Lios Ato Kimo Shahisi BeHachadoshim Hakadmoinim. If only I can go back in time, travel. This is something which man has always yearned for: the ability to go back in time. Wouldn't you love to go back in time? To go back in time to a previous time. Kimo Hayom Asher Shamreni Eloka. Elokai, from the days that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has guarded me. Rashi just says, Ma Ne'iyev, it's Ne'iyev's response, Mi Yitin B'Kiyar Chikedem, Kiyamim Kadmonim Shayisi, Big Idulasi, in my upbringing. In the previous...
When I was in glory.
Yeah,
Big Idulasi, my greatness, I'm sorry, but before my downfall. In the days of my greatness. So Rashi is not referring to being a fetus. Rashi refers to the days when he was successful, as the psukim very clearly. I mean, from the psukim, obviously not dealing with the old psukim, not dealing with the moment of being a fetus. It's clear as day, dealing with during his lifetime, 70 years of life. About a year before all this happened to him, when he was 69 years old, he was riding high. When he was 68 years old, for 70 years,
he had, 6 months, 7 months ago. Look
at what. Okay, yeah, even a few months ago. Even a few months ago, things were a lot different than they were now. The whole world turned over for me in a few months. Pasuk Gimel, Bihilo. What am I referring to? Bihilo Nero Alei Roshi. Bihilo means to shine. Nero means Hashem's lamp. Alei Roshi, upon my head. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What?
In Chai Hashem, we said that in Ezbir Shabbos.
One of the Ezbir Shabbos? I'm a Litvak.
Before Kiddush,
yeah. And so what does it say there?
And that appears.
Okay, very good. Below Nera Alei Rosh, there's a tradition. We're coming out Hilchos Halakha and Nera Shabbos and the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch. We talk about there's a tradition that, you know, the Neros, they talk to each other. Are you aware of this? That the Neros Friday night, they communicate with each other, and they reveal, if you know how to listen to the language, they reveal all of the events that are going to happen in the coming week. All the secrets, the neshamos that come to the Neros. It's Kabbalistic in Yanim. So here we have an allusion to this. What? It says in Yanik, says Sifrei Kabbalah. Ask Axelrod tomorrow. He'll tell us from the Satma where it says this.
That flicker at the end. It's got...
Okay, Belinda will come to that. Belinda will try to go through some of these interesting things. When we learn the, in the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch, Bihiloi kimeil, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Nerei Alei Roshi, Hashem's lamp shone upon me, he guided me. Lo'oiroi through Hashem's light, Eile Choshech, I would travel in darkness. In the darkest times of my life, it was no big deal because Hashem was there. He was holding a candle for me and guarding me through the darkness. Pasuk Gimel in the Mesudas, Behilo Neiro, Kishizorcho Or Hashpa Oso. When Hashem's influence, Hashem is a Mashpia, Hashem guides you, GPS. Kishizorcho Or Hashpa Oso Al Roishik, Shahoye Choshech Berlam, when there was darkness in the world, Holach Deni Lor, it was no big deal. I was able to travel by candlelight. Nishba alai, which was being cast upon me, was shining upon me. Me'ez hamakum from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Rashi pasagim will be hilo nero loshon or shine with a simcha. Rashi adds hilo means not just a light of joy, it's a light of simcha. Le'oiro ha'yisi holech b'chol choshech v'tzara shahis sabal le'olam lihayar. Although in the world there was darkness, people did not know what to do. They did not know to invest in gold, invest in silver, tech stocks, oil, what to invest. I knew what to do. I had no problem. I had a good account, and he told me what to invest in. A good advisor. Next, pasuk. Now, obviously, what is referred to? If you're going to the Medrash, can the limited few, so then we'll come to the Medrash. Pasuk Dalit, Kasha Yisi Bimei Charfi. If I only can go back to the days of my youth. The word Charfi is an unusual word. If you look in the Mitsudos, Tzion Charfi Kadmusi, Uvidivrei Rabbeinu Zichron Levracha. Cherpi va'afoli. These are two words which mean the same thing, which mean my youth, my young years. Besod Eloka Ale Aholi, when the counsel of God was upon my tent. And this can mean many different things. Let's take a look at the Mitzvahs first. Pasuk Dal Kasher Musav Al Miyitneni. If only I can go back in time. Lo Miyitneni Oisil Yos Kasher Yisi Bimeikad Musi Beis Tisasu Kulam Nahira Mitzvahs. Is a very simple interpretation. People would come to my house. I was a base vad for chachamim. Anyone that wanted advice, they wanted to know. They wanted das Torah. They wanted to know what shall we do. Das, they would come to my house, and I would give them my advice was the word of God, was das Torah. Everyone would gather El Oholi to my tent, Lahamtik Sod, to take advice, Lahamtik. Anyone have a good translation for Lahamtik? I don't have a good translation.
Sweeten
counsel. Lahamtik Sod, to listen to sweet advice, Bidvar Mitzvahs Eloka concerning matters of Chesroch. I'll tell you a joke. It's not a joke, just crossed my mind just to make it a little bit more interesting. Someone told me, was recently telling me stories about Rav Ruderman, who was Rosh Yeshiva of Neri Yisrael. All these very, very funny stories. So he told me that in his day, there was a certain boy that on Sunday, all the boys would go to him. They had a seder to watch Mission Impossible. The whole shir. We're talking about like high school boys. They all went. This is the Seder Halimut in Yeshiva. We all go Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening. We go watch Mission Impossible, and the mother served popcorn, and it was a very enjoyable experience. So Rachmana Litzlan, this boy, his mother was not well, and she was nifter, and it was a family in Baltimore, and it was a very big tzara. And the yeshiva, all the boys from the class went, and Rav Ruderman, the Rosh Yeshiva of Neri Yisrael, they told him, you know, you have to come. You have to come to the Levaya because Chizuk from Chazak Olam. So Rav Ruderman, he knew the boy, but he knew nothing about the parents, so he came there, and he said, you have to speak. Rosh Yeshiva has to speak. So he asked some of his advisors, tell me what to say. She's a wonderful person. She was so good to the boys, and the boys would come every. They would come to the house. They didn't tell everyone. They came here to watch television, but they said the boys come. The boys would come there to the house, and she was mechazik them. And she was good to them. So it was a very chashva levaya. A lot of rabbanim from the community came, and Rav Ruderman gets up and he says, "This woman, I can't imitate the Yiddish, and this woman was a very very chashva woman." Her house was a base vad lachachonim. A base vad to watch Mission Impossible. Okay. But the oil. Okay. So here he says over here, Eov, they didn't come to watch Mission Impossible. That's not what they did. They came over here to hear actually the Soid Eloka, to hear the advice, the word of God. The Soid Eloka Leoli was upon my tent. So that tent, according to them, says Ali means literally my physical abode in this world. I was a young man, I was in my 20s, my 30s, and my home came, everyone came together, and I delivered Shi'ur min Hashkafa, and I gave over Das Torah. Right, the most abused term there is today. Let's see over here. Pasuk Dal. Bimei Charfi Rashi. Bimei Kadmusi. My younger years. Loshen Aramihu. Over here, the Rashi tells us the word Charfi is acknowledging is a very unusual word. There's an enormous amount of Aramaic. If you take note in Eof, see, you learn Doniel. No one's apologizing. It's half of Daniel is Aramaic. Pshuta kemashmo. But Eov gives you the impression that it's Hebrew. Lashon Kodesh, Lashon HaKodesh. That's the impression that we get. Yet, more often than not, we sneak in Aramaic words intertwined with the Hebrew. Lashon Arami hu charfi va'ap. I'm not sure how to vowelize that word. Va'apoli, it means my youth. In Meikadmusi, it's an Aramaic word. Besod Eloka al Ohali, Kishahoyu Kishre Hadar. Kishre means the kosher. Kisheri Hadar, the kosher people. The Galat kosher people of the generation. Boim L'Ohali, they came to my tent. Livose B'divri HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to take counsel in the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'Toyra U'V'Geder Siog L'Shah. They made Gezeras, Takonas. They made Takonas for the generation. You're not allowed to do this, you're not allowed to do that. L'Shah, for this particular generation, that took place in my tent. Now, Rashi said, now that's Rashi and the Mitzvah. The Midrash, let me maybe read some of the Midrashim. The Midrashim don't read easy here. There's a Midrash Tanchuma and there's a Midrash Agada, and it basically means that these three psukim, these two psukim, Bilo Nero Dali refers to when he was a fetus. And when he was a fetus, you mentioned the Malach comes and teaches you Kol HaTorah Kula. That's the Ner. Ki Ner Mitzvah V'Torah Or. Hashem would shine His Or HaTorah. That was the Kiner Mitzvah. The Torah was shining upon him when he was a fetus, teaching him the entire Torah. The Sod Eloka means the secrets. A fetus is taught all the Sisrei Torah. Alei Ohali, my tent does not mean my physical house. In Flabasher means my the mother's womb. The mother's womb was my temporary abode. That's the basic gist. The basic gist of the Midrashim. We're referring specifically to these periods of time in his lifetime. It was the happiest time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching him Torah and he had nothing to worry about.
Right,
he shall live long. Interesting. Very, it comes from here. Very nice. Very, very, very good. A very good connection. Behilo Nero. Here's Ale Roshi when I was a young man, specifically a young person. You write about him. Behilo Nero Ale Roshi. That his light should shine. Very nice. My father once told me, Hashem, hey, sometimes they write, hey, you advaf. Ever see that expression? They don't do too much anymore. Hey, you, they write about a person. Ruvain ben Avraham, hey, yud, vav. What does that stand for? Hashem Yishmereyu? The Yantirehu, something like that. Neuter, also means to watch. Hashem Yishmereyu, yud, vi, yintereyu. Hashem should watch him and protect him. So today, for whatever reason, you don't see, it's not too often to see that. Instead of Shlita.
Fill in bags, they put the kid's name and they write that.
Hey Yudvav.
Hashem gets first and then they write the kid's name and then they put that.
Hey Yudvav. I tell you, don't tell you, see more often Shlita. Sheyichtia Liyamim Tayyim Maruchim. But it just used to be much more popular. Hey Yudvav. That's in front of the name. Okay, we're not talking about what goes in front of it, what goes after the name. After the name. Once in Tarvadas, they put out a journal, they wrote about one of the living Rosh Yeshiva, they wrote about him, Zatzal. Zechet Tzadik Levracha. Was a mistake. Zechet Tzadik Levracha, instead of Shlita. Okay, let's go further. So, Besod Elokai Alei Roshi, so that's the basic, just the Medrash, okay, I'm not going to go through the words, he talks about different The basic idea, it says in the Medrash that when a baby is born, the baby comes out in a state of filth. He's surrounded by blood and by the shilia, and yet everyone says mazel tov. Everyone is so happy. So it's just, how could it, it's a strange, why is it? That's the mitzvah, because a child, they kiss the child, they hug the child, even though the child is filthy, because the child at this point in time is pure, has so much potential, and that's a Musar Haskel, that you shouldn't look at the chitzonius of a person, you should look at where they're heading. A person may not necessarily be the most beautiful person. That was yesterday's daf. Right? Yesterday's daf in Chochma Mefara Bechli Mechor. Beautiful Chochma in an ugly utensil. So the Musar is, don't, that's not so. Look at a baby. There's nothing more ugly or more disgusting than blood, where the baby came from. It came from one mother's womb. It's a part of the body that's filthy, dirty. And yet, no one's complaining. Everyone is kissing the baby, singing about the baby, and saying mazel tov, because what the baby represents, the potential the baby has, is something very special. Let's go to Pasuk Hey. Be'oid be'od shaka imadi. All of this was when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with me. I was surrounded by my youths, by my friends. So this can simply mean one or two things, by my children. The good old days. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with me. I was successful. Everything that I did, HaKadosh Baruch Hu guaranteed that I was successful, and I was surrounded by my children. Edith had 10 children, or it means I was surrounded by my young friends, or it means I was in my prime. I had vigor. I was youthful. I was in a state of vitality. Pasuk Hei Mesudos. The ode, be'ez hoye ode, shaka imadi, lehetiv li Hashem was good to me, v'narai hoye svivo sayil, l'shamish osayil, young men, either means children or young men, surrounded me to serve me. Rashi, nurai mishorsai. Rashi learns, nurai means my servants, so not does not necessarily here mean children. As a young man. So here it means, Yeshua was a nar. Nar, lo yom, a servant. Okay. So it can mean one of really three things. My children, Rav Shlomo, I think he says, he saw them as children, it means my servants, or it means I was in a state of vitality, of the youthfulness. Pasik Vav, Birchoitz Halichai Bechema. In the good old days, my path was paved, not with gold, with cream. Cream. Now, chema, Rav Shlomo explains, chema is a modern invention. I don't know the history of butter. Maybe you can Google it. Butter. Butter was invented, relatively speaking, recently. Butter did not exist in the time of Chazal. Okay, try to find the date, the first record of butter. Chema b'chema, keinachnami, the hays and the olives never slowed us down in the earth. We could always interchange the hay and the olive. No, chema in Tanakh means cream. In Tanakh, chema always means cream. In modern Hebrew, chema means butter. Butter, to some degree, is like cheese, to a certain degree. It's curdled. You've processed it. But when you whip up the milk, when you begin to produce, I don't even know how you make cream, but when you begin to prepare the milk, as a byproduct of preparing the milk, you produce cream. Chema in Tanakh always means cream. In modern Hebrew, it means butter. It cannot mean butter because seemingly our sources tell us that butter did not exist in the world as we know it until recent times.
Butter did.
What? Butter also, maybe it existed 1,000 years ago, but it didn't exist 3,000 years ago. That's what it seems to say. Butter is something which is new. It's
margarine
new to the world.
That's
margarine. Margarine. That's make-believe butter. What do they make margarine from? What's it made from? Vegetable oils. It's not even the real thing, but we're talking about butter. The real butter. The real stuff. That's also, it's not what we refer to. Chema is cream, it's delicious, it's smooth. So he's giving a mashal. The mashal here is that my path, berchoitz, halichai, I would bathe my path, bechema in bud and cream. The tzur, rocks, yotzuk imadi pal geshem, and rocks would pour forth oil. In other words, anything that I did was magic. I would invest. The people would analyze my investments. They would say that I'm out of my mind. I would invest in stocks that were losers, and all of a sudden, the next day, stock went up through the roof. people were shocked. That's because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with you, no matter what you do, you'll be successful. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not with you, no matter what you do, you'll not be successful. Like Shidduchim. Someone I heard, someone told me that I went to a Gadol, and the Gadol sat in. If the Shidduch is Bashert, there's nothing you can do that will ruin the shidduch. And if the shidduch is not meant to be, there's nothing you can do to sweet talk the girl, the family, into making the shidduch with you. If it's not meant to be, it's not going to happen no matter what you do. They say about this, about the six. Okay, at least for the meantime. They say this about the six-day war, the wars in history, some of the recent wars in Israel 60, 70 years ago, the war of independence, the war, the six-day Yom Kippur war, and this and that. So some of the wars, they say the Israelis, they did the most foolish things. And the most foolish things turned out to be the biggest miracles.
The U.S. Army refuses to teach about, let's say, the Yom Kippur war.
Because it doesn't make any sense. Not be derech hateva. And things which could have been a churban for Klal Yisrael turned out to be a bracha, turned out to work out into their favor. So if something is meant to be, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to succeed, no matter what you do, you will succeed. When the Yid Hashem does not want it to work, it's not going to happen. And that's what we're saying over here. A rock has no moisture. So better than Moshe. Moshe only produced water out of rocks. Here Eve says, for me, the rocks flowed with oil. Oil came out of rocks, and the paths, my roads, were bathed in cream. It was smooth, smooth sailing even on the earth. Let's look at Pasuk Vav in the Mitzudos. Berchoitz, be'es rochatzu mikoymois mahalchai. They would bathe the places that I would travel, b'chema in cream. So the Mitzudos adds, Mr. Weiss, he adds in an aleph. He has an aleph hay. So how do you spell in modern Hebrew chema? Aleph hay or just an aleph? Aleph hay. Bechema. So here the aleph is missing. Bechema. Bumi derech guzma. Vaflaga. This is an exaggeration. Vloimar kolkach gedola hashefa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bestowment of benefit upon me was so great. It's as if cream was flowing on the ground, was poured, and no one would gather it. No one would even bother picking it up, because due to the enormous abundance. Like you pave the streets with gold, there's so much gold, it's not even kedai to steal it because it's so abundant. So too, cream, which is another an example of something which is delicious and precious, was on this was used to clean the streets. The rocks that are with me, Hayyotzek would pour the shayfech, nachle shemen, streams of oil, the humashal al marbis hashefa, the abundance of bracha, the godel hahatzlacha. Someone would translate tsur as a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tsur yiladcha teshi, hatsur tamim paolo, often in Tanakh, tsur, what?
Tzur Yisrael.
Yisrael, often in Tanakh, and the word Tzur refers to Kodesh Baruch Hu. So here, Katzmi needs to go say to Kodesh Baruch Hu, just like in Pasuk Dalid, in Pasuk Beis Neiro, in Pasuk Beis Kinei Eloka Yishmereni, in Pasuk Dalid Besod Eloka Aleoli. Now we're getting then Pasuk Hei Shakai. So where is Hashem's name in Pasuk Vav? It's breaking tradition. Until Pasuk Vav, every single Pasuk, when Eve describes his great success, he mentioned HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. So suddenly in Pasuk Vav, he's going to abandon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in order to say that, even in Pasuk Vav, the Tzur really refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was poured upon me streams of oil. Pasuk Vav in Rashi, halichai, my raglei, the paths of my feet, any path I took him, b'chema, kimo b'chema, add an aleph, as if it says body. If it's so yotzuk imodi palge shemen kloimar nachas ruach, I had pleasure, I had satisfaction. That's the ultimate bracha in this world, to have menuchas hanefesh. A person can have everything, peace of mind. You can have everything in the world, and you have no menuchas hanefesh. Something is bothering you. You can't enjoy anything. The person can have absolutely nothing, zero. Doesn't have what to eat, what to wear, what to do, and he has menuchas hanefesh. It's a wonderful life, and that's what he says here. I had satisfaction in this world. I had peace of mind. And all things, desires of my heart that are pleasant, will like streams of oil. It's a mashal. Yatzukmo v'yatzakta, I will pour upon you. Just showing the word v'yatzak means to pour out. Hashem is pouring upon Eve. Pasuk now Pasuk Zayin begins, kavod. Okay, what is very dear to many people. Kavod. The world exists on people, person that have no desire for kavod will be a very different world. Very different world. It's part of the Yetzirah. The world cannot exist without a Yetzirah. And one of the biggest Yetzirah is kavod. People want honor. They want to leave over a legacy in this world so that inspires them to do things they would otherwise not do. And here he describes that he was the recipient of great honor. B'tzeisi shar alei kores. Kores can mean different things. We'll translate here now the city. A Korea. A Korea is Aramaic for a city, an ear. An ear in Aramaic is, another Aramaic word is a Korea, a city. Kiryas, the city of Yarim, of the forest. Okay, the Yeris Yarim. So Kiryas Arba. So it's a city. Okay, so I guess it's also Hebrew. Maybe it's also Hebrew. Maybe it comes from Aramaic. But the word Kirya is an Aramaic, is a word which means a city. Shar means the gate. The gate of the city. This was the place where the Chashuvim would sit. We don't really appreciate this anymore. Today we live in a modern world.
I said
Bashar HaMelech. In the gate of the king, Bashar HaMelech. But what about the Shar Ha'ir? So we don't appreciate this today, but in ancient times, all public activities, the court, in the Shar, the gate of the city. Okay, but in the ancient times, that's where the courthouse, that's where it was, whenever there was an event, a public event, an official event, that's where they would come to the Shar Ho'ir, the gate of the city. So Eve had a special seat, a special chair. But Sesi, when I would go out to Bishar, the gate of Ale Ashar, Ale, that is in the front of the Kores, Berchoiv in the street, Ochin Moshavi, I would prepare my chair. Pasik, well, another pasik. Pasik Ches. Ruuni Noadim V'Nechboh. When the young men would see me, they would hide. That is a sign of respect. When you are so dignified that when you walk in the street, people stop and they behave themselves, that's a sign of respect. They recognize who you are. Vishishim, Vishishim means the Zakenim, the elders. The Zakain is an old man. A Yashish is someone who's very old, 100 years old. Kamu, they stood still. Amadu, and they stood up for me. I demanded such respect, even people my senior, people much older than me, when I would walk in the street, they stood, they froze, and they stood up in my honor. I miss those good old days. Those good old days when I received honor.
So Ryan's miracle.
What?
You should go away from Kavod.
He's not pursuing it. He's not saying that he chased after Kavod. He's just saying that's the way it was. It was just a matter of fact. Pasig Vavin, Pasig Zayin, and Chesin Mitzudas. Kura'uni, Kasha Ro, Sichan Odim. No, I'm sorry. Pasuk Zayin, the Mitzudos. Be'ez Yotzasi Elohir, Eitzel Hoir. When I went out to the Al Ashar, to the gate, Eitzel Hoir. So he's translating the word Kores as the city. Loshaves to sit the Moishav Hazikenim, to sit in the seat in the seat of council of the judges. Shadarkam Uzer Dech Loshaves Shahir Kamashakosav Eitz El Zikne Hoir Hashara. You'll take out the Naira Hameoyosa that was Mizane to the Zikne Hoir Hashar who sit in the gate of the city. That's where they convened. Berchoiv Be'ez Hachabes Hachinoisi Moishavi Berchoivi. When I would prepare my seat in the repetition, the same idea in the town square. Pasuk Ches Rouni Kasha Ro Osi Hanoam. When the young men would see me, Zoz Nechbohu, they would hide. Levoshtan, in their embarrassment. When they would see me, they would be embarrassed. They had fear of me. They would be embarrassed to appear before me. That represents that you're a very great person. When you recognize the greatness of someone else, you're embarrassed. Yeah, you hide. Kamu amadu, the zakenim would stand still, and they would freeze, and they would stand. Kamu miponai v'nishara, they would remain oimdim, they would stand, and amadu, they would remain standing. V'nishara oimdim v'loi malaya libam l'sheves imadu, they would not even come near me. They gave me special respect. I stood alone. Like I told you from my Belsky many times, a young bacha came to him and said to him, Rebbe, I became a Rav. I'm only 22 years old and I'm the Rav of the city. And tonight there's a meeting. tonight, and they invited me to come and to sit with all the Rabbanim on the dais, and there's going to be a big audience. Who am I, Rebbe, to sit on the dais with all the Chasher Rabbanim, who I'm only 22 years old? Svyabelsky said, he told them, don't worry, the first time is going to be very difficult. You're going to come there, you're going to be ashamed, you're going to be embarrassed, you're going to be sitting there, but don't worry. The next time it won't be so bad. And then the next time you'll come to a madrega where you'll have tainus. Why do they put me at the end of the table? They should put me closer to the middle. And then you'll come to the point where you'll have tainus. Why aren't you mamish in the middle? And then the time will come, the ultimate, you'll have tainus. Why are there other people sitting together with me? I should be all alone. I'm so great. It's exactly what it says over here. V'loimolo libam l'sheves imadi. They were so afraid of Eov. Eov was so great, no one had his own table. He sat at the dais all alone. Because who can come and sit near him?
Well, the way you said before, that the Moshe of Skenim is the place where the Gedolim sit.
Yeah.
Today it has a different connotation altogether. You go to Eretz Yisrael, an old age home is called Moshe of Skenim.
That's right, absolutely right. Okay, that's okay. Let's see Rashi pasuk Zayin Keres. So Rashi says Tikra Gavoa. He doesn't translate it. Rashi is not too happy with this word Kiria. Kiria, where's the Yud Hey? Where's the Yud Hey? What's going on? Keres with the tough. What's going on over here? So he says it comes from the word Tikra. It means a beam. Tikra Gavoa.
Or ceiling.
A ceiling, gavoa. I mean, but why is it called a ceiling? Why is it called a tikra? There were beams. Tikra is a borrowed term. A tikra, we call it a ceiling. But the reason why it's called here is collection of korah. It comes from the word of beams, because on the ceiling you put beams. Tikra gavoa, mucheness kikise lasheves lazikne ho'ir, that was used, they sat on boards. They sat in the towns, they sat on, they didn't have chairs in the old days. They took big, heavy boards and they benches. It was a bench. And that's where they would, a stadium, that's where the Zekanim, the Chashuvim would sit. So it says here, Beitzesi Shar, when I went out to the gate to sit, Ale Kores, to sit on the dais. Not the Shar, the gate, that is in the front of the city, but by the gate, and I would sit upon a board. I would sit upon a piece of wood. I remember the YU permit issue. They wrote the board of trustees. They made a daf gemara, and they had a daf gemara about the board of trustees. And they said, like the Parish Rashi, Lama Nikre board. Why is it called? It was a joke. Lama, why the board, like in Hebrew, Lama Nikra, the board of trustees. Yeshayim. They have nothing to do. Yoshev bottle. So it's not bored. The Yeshayim. That's one interpretation. It comes from a corrupt version of being bored, not from the Yeshayim. The trustees are Yoshev al boards, al dafim. They sit al dafim when they convene, so they call it little tzanis. But there's something true to it, because that's the chashuvim they sit on when it says here, ale keres, upon a plank of wood. I would prepare my chair in the street. Pasik test. Now he goes on to describe the honor that he received in the good old days. Sarim otsu bimilim. The princes would keep them, would hold back words. No one would want to voice an opinion without first hearing what I have to say. Because they knew that my word is gold. My advice, if they would say something and I would contradict them, then those people would be embarrassed. They would be put to shame. They said something foolish, because whatever comes out of the mouth of Eov is brilliant. It's automatically brilliant. If you don't, he's not saying that. He's not saying it's because of his money. He's saying because the parak goes on to explain that he was the real thing. He was the real deal. And no one wanted to put the ships in. May a sarim princess, otsu v'milim, they would withhold words in order not to compete with what Eve would have to say. The chaf yosimu l'piyam, another expression, they would put their hands on their mouths. They would keep their mouths shut because they would give respect to Eve. Pasik, the Ludu, another Pasik, Kol, Nigidim, same idea, Kol, the sound of Nigidim, of the princes, Nechbahu, was silenced. Nechbahu means to go into hiding. So in this context, it means Histiratzman, they would just conceal, they would keep their words to themselves, Ulishainam, Lechikam, Deveka, they kept their tongue inside their palate. It cleaved to their palate, it did not come out, they would not dare say one word, they only wanted to hear the brilliant advice and the opinion of Eof, Pasik Ches and Tes in the Mitzudos, Pasik Ruuni, no, Pasik Tes and Yud, Atsru, Manu, Bidvarim, they would withhold words, Velo Hishlimu Amareim, they would not bring forth, express their opinion, Bavur, Bowi, because of my presence, because I have arrived. Vesas Mupin Bekapam, they put their hand, Bavur, Bo, because I have arrived. Of his coming, of Eof's coming, they could close their mouth with their hand, they would not speak for anything. Their sound was hidden, was concealed. It's as if their tongue stuck to their palate, they were not able to speak. Okay, Rashi, Pasik. Why were they quiet? Because they want me. They want me to be the first one to speak. Okay, we will stop here. We'll pass the good aleph.